How can I roll when the wheels won't go? Roll on, buddy, pull a load of coal. How can I pull when the wheels won't roll? I was mighty lucky to grow up one of 11 first cousins, all as close as brothers and sisters. My youngest cousin was named Shelby Three. A name like that tells you three things out front. He was a Republican, an Episcopalian, and an overachiever. Christmas of his 10th year, Shelby Three was presented with a Daisy Red Ryder lever action BB gun. What do you suppose a 10-year-old overachiever is going to do to prove himself with his first BB gun? He went on out Red Bug Road to the ex-Governor Arundale estate, where on the riverside of the property lies a cow pasture which contains, among other things, a latticed Victorian gazebo and a 2,100-pound Brahma bull. Shelby Three took careful aim with his new BB gun and shot that bull squarely in the seat of his pendulant and highly vaunted sovereignty, causing him straightway to levitate, to loom terrifically above the tree line, and then trumpeting like the avenging angel of doom, to clatter up along the fenceway to where the strands of barbed wire were stapled into the corner boards of the Bean Creek Baptist Church. Inside the sanctuary at this precise moment in time, the Right Reverend Jeremiah Proudfoot stood forth delivering his direful prognostication concerning the awful reality of the beast of the apocalypse. By the time Arundale's bull had torn the fifth plank of clapboard off the altar wall of the sanctuary, they had more pilgrims stand ardently forth at the altar rail in earnest solicitation of spiritual salvation than in the entire prior history of the fellowship. Hallelujah and amen. After this incident down at the church in Bean Creek, all the philosophers who hung around the Purina store downtown began to refer to my young cousin as the conversion factor. A ponderous moniker, but a nickname much loved by my youngest cousin because it was earned and not handed down. Says I don't ever sing enough love songs. This one was written by John Stewart from California. Hold it on the road when you're sitting right beside me and I'm drunk out of my mind merely from the fact that you are here. I have not been known as a saint of San Joaquin. I just as soon ride now pull on over to the side of the road and show you what I mean. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. July, you're than anyone I've ever known. I can't keep my eyes on the white line out before me when your hand is on my collar and you're talking in my ear. I once ran around with a gypsy girl named Shannon, the daughter of the devil. It is strange that I should mention that to you. I hadn't thought of her for years. You're a woman more than anyone I've ever known. Maybe it's the early reference to Lem Motlow's Finest that makes me say this, but I have got to confess to you that not everything that I have learned about performing was garnered under these spreading Hamilton County oaks and longleaf yellow pine, cradled by the sound of this fine river. No, I have just got to admit that a great deal of what I do here today, I learned while performing at the Terminal Tavern. The Terminal Tavern is a skull orchard. A skull orchard's a kind of a place where when you go in at the door, they search you to see if you got a knife or a gun. If you ain't got one, they give you one. 20 years, 50 weeks a year, 6 nights a week, 4 shows a night, straining my patrician sensibilities through that veil of chicken wire in front of the stage at the Terminal Tavern. Wearing an ankle-length, winter-weight, herringbone tweed overcoat. Summer and winter, windows barred and shuttered, no AC, herringbone tweed is what you gotta wear if you're working behind chicken wire. Chicken wire is fine against the occasional thrown bottle. But if some yahoo pulls down on you with an AK-47 and you're wearing herringbone tweed behind chicken wire, you've got two options. You can move a quarter of an inch to the right or a quarter of an inch to the left, and you'll flat ass disappear. Now you just think about that. Well, me and Lim and old Bill Brown took a load of corn to town. Oh, Jim Dog and Henry Cuss, he just naturally followed us. Well, we drove up past Johnson's store, a parcel of yaps come out at the door, and Jimmy scooted behind a box, all them fellows are chunking rocks. Look out, Jim. I went to see my friend Still Bill. I said, Bill, I got a little 22 rifle I'd like to trade off. You got anything you want to trade? He said, yeah. You want a dog? I said, Bill, I need a dog, but I wonder, before we finalize this transaction, would you mind leading the animal in question out into the yard, please? I don't know that much about trading for animals, but a smart fellow down at the Purina store told me if you want to find out the truth about the merchandise, you get the other fellow to lead him out in the yard before you give him anything. Bill got a piece of rope tied at the dog's collar, headed for the door. The dog followed along, a model of canine obedience, and ran slap into the door jamb head on. Backed him up and had another go at it. Dog bounced off the door jamb, slew down the steps, ricocheted off the chopping block, skidded over the yard, and fetched slap up against the smokehouse with his feet up in there. All three of them. I said, Still Bill, you're trying to trade me off a dog that is stone blind. He said, Gamble, this dog ain't blind. She just flat don't care. and her name was Sadie Brown. I'd take her out, we'd walk about when the moon was shining down, and the dear little miss, she would give me a kiss, and to her I would say, Sadie, my little lady, oh, won't you be my bride? Sadie, my little lady, oh, come and be by my side. We'll be married in June and have a long honeymoon, settle down for life. Sadie, my little lady, come and be my ball and chain. Everybody down home plays like this. I'm just the only one that took it out of town and tried to make a living with it. Got to be about 16 years of age, a certain blue chip element in Snipes Ford would always say to us, for God's sake, don't go down to the Terminal Tavern, it's a skull orchard. But we went anyhow, me and Hutto and Hilo and Still Bill and Shelby 3 and as many as 8 others, all shoehorned into a shackle block Chevrolet, a car so sorry you had to be going 60 miles an hour to get the headlights to come on. All the way out to the Terminal Tavern, you got as many as 11 Christian souls shoehorned into that shackle block. Every man Jack can pick the guitar, but can't play but one song between them. You got it. Penrod says, pass that box back here to me. I'll show you how it's done. Get it, son. Well, Penrod's just a little shaky there today. He's been in the sauce one more time. Well, if he gets too drunk to pick the guitar, we'll just let him drive a car. Absolutely no social consciousness back in 1955. Shelby 3 says, pass it back here to me. Let me have a go at it. Now, he was the youngest. He always tried the hardest. Wanted to impress everybody. Look here now. Turn on the car radio on that chat picket. Terminal Tap. And at the Terminal Tavern every night, it was boogie music. Now, you're looking at somebody who was born under the sign of the boogie fever. Yeah. I played a pretty good boogie on this old box of mine. I'll admit that wasn't the way Snake Walker John played the boogie. He'd come out there with those saxophones wailing, those drums pounding, those basses throbbing, those chick singers wailing. He would commence to abuse the equipment. He'd go, huh, they go, huh. He'd go, huh, they go, hmm. He'd go, please, please, please. And they would go crazy. And he would go, college, and you may go to school, where you may drive a pink Cadillac, don't you be nobody's fool, baby, come back, baby, doll, come back, baby, doll, well, come back, baby, I want to play house with you, well, baby, 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 come back, baby, I want to play house with you, play house now, child. Dead little girl in the beat with another old Snake Walker working out there. Young woman jump up and say, stop it, Snake Walker, I can't stand it. He redoubled his efforts and she took off running wild out through the room, ran slapping to the wall and knocked herself out. Now, buddy, that's boogieing. Instantly, I seized upon the inherent potential of this particular art form, and I boogied diligently. It's working. It's working. Please, please. I never could achieve the same results with my boogie that Snake Walker done with his. And then one time I'm knocking around in front of John Gentile's prawn shop. This scabrous derelict comes creeping out of the alley dragging a split Gibson guitar. He was the most scrofulous-looking human baggage I have ever encountered. He looked like the high priest of penicillin abuse. I said, who are you? He said, baby, I'm the boogeyman. I said, child, baby, I'm a boogeyman, too. He said, shh. And then he choked down on those old Black Diamond drugstore guitar strings of his. And a sound something like this emanated from his box. Well, and they rode a little boat. elbow, 5 miles across the pond. I packed my things and put them in it, Lord, they rolled for me along. Well, then I went and I stood up on a high old lonesome hill. Yes, I went and I stood up on a high old lonesome hill. Down up under a place, darling, where I used to live. Backwater blue, got my things and gone. Backwater blue, got my things and gone. You know my house fell down, I can't live there. Just the other day in the San Francisco Chronicle, which of course I forgot to say, and it was about a lady who lived in the good old days, back when a century died and a century was raised. And about these good old days the lady smiled and said, was just a lot of people doing the best they could. And as I recollect, the lady smiled and said that they done it pretty up and walking good. And the sun is going down for Mr. Bowie as he's singing with his class of 1910. Oh, Mother Country, I do love you. Oh, Mother Country, I do love you. I knew a man named E.A. Stewart. That's S-T-U. And he owned some of the finest horses I believe I've ever seen. But he had a favorite, a champion, the old campaigner. And he called her Sweetheart on Parade. And friends, she was easily the finest horse that the good Lord ever made. But you know old E.A. Stewart was going blind. He said, I would like to race her just one more time. Come on up under here. So the people came from miles around and they stood around the ring and no one said a word, no. No one said a thing. Come on. Then here they come. It's E.A. Stewart and the old campaigner. And he's sitting straight and proud. And he's driving her stone blind. And the people cheer. And don't you know, some people. Some people shed a tear. There's old E.A. Stewart sitting straight and proud and driving her stone blind. And don't you know that just a little bit after, old E.A. Stewart died. And the sun is going down for Mr. Bowie as he's singing with his class of 19 and 2. I do love you. Oh, Mother Country, I do love you. Well, we're just going to go right ahead. These are usually the best shows. Is everybody dry? Are you dry? Okay, fine. Well, this is just an old folk song. Some of you might have had experiences that lead you to believe that there is veracity in this song. I don't know myself. I'll just sing it for you and let you sort it out. This is a dialogue between a man and a woman in a situation in which nuptials are imminent. Why don't some of you in front sit down? And that way we can have... Now you all in back stay up and we'll have... The people in the middle can sit down and somebody can sit on their shoulders and we'll have a graduated situation. That's fine. It's not going to be, it'll be till the rain stops. If it's 4 hours, we'll bring a cherry picker crane in here and get you off the floor. All right, this is a dialogue now, and who do you suppose speaks first? Well, the lady speaks first. She says, well, better turn up the monitors a little bit. Can anybody hear that guitar? All right. Well, when are we gonna get married, married, married? When are we gonna get married, my dear old Buffalo boy? Well, I reckon we'll marry on Sunday, on Sunday, on Sunday. I reckon we'll marry on Sunday, that is, if the weather be good. Well, how we gonna get to the wedding and the wedding and the wedding and how we gonna get to the wedding and my dear old Buffalo boy? Well, I reckon we'll come in my ox cart, my ox cart, my ox cart. I reckon we'll come in my ox cart, that is, if the weather be good. Why don't we come in your buggy, your buggy? Why don't we come in your buggy, my dear old Buffalo boy? Cause the ox won't fit in my buggy, and my buggy, and my... No, the ox won't fit in my buggy, not even if the weather be good. Well, who you gonna bring to the wedding, and the wedding, and the wedding, and who you gonna bring to the wedding, and my dear old Buffalo boy? Well, I reckon I'll bring my children, my children, my children. Well, I reckon I'll bring my children, that is... I didn't know you had no children, no children, no children. Didn't know you had no children, my dear old Buffalo boy. Why, yes, I have 5 children, 5 children. Yes, I have 5 children, maybe 6 if the weather be good. Well, there ain't gonna be no wedding and no wedding and no wedding. And no, there ain't gonna be no wedding, and not even if the weather be good. Not even if the weather be good. People are willing to concede that Southerners talk differently than other people. Some even claim that they think differently. I don't know about that, but I do know that down south, we've got a lot of politicians who talk like preachers. And we've got some preachers who talk like politicians. And we've got people who pick and sing who sound like preachers and politicians. And none more distinguished, perhaps, than the late, great Jimmy Rogers of Louisiana, who wrote and recorded and sold a million copies of the song "You Are My Sunshine," and then became governor of Louisiana. And then there was the Kingfish, Huey Long from Louisiana, whom Agamemnon Jones remembers having seen stumping the Cajun state, campaigning from the bed of a 2.5-ton straight frame truck. He had a hillbilly aggregation behind, and he was fronting the band. He had a Prince Albert can full of quail shot strapped to his right forearm. He was playing the Great Speckled Bird on a flat top guitar, like a hillbilly mariachi. But for sheer unmitigated gall and chutzpah, no one has ever equaled kissing Christian gentleman Big Jim Folsom of the sovereign state of Alabama. Now, when Jim Folsom declared his intention to capture the gubernatorial nomination, all of his political detractors went out trying to dig up some sort of